Hallelujah. Glory, glory. All right, so the carrot cake thing actually happened. It really did. You thought he was just being funny, but it really happened. So we were sitting in our living room, and the Odom family tradition is that, and then Granny started this. Granny Odom started this, and she had this amazing carrot cake recipe, and so now it's been passed down, and she would make it for all the boys on their birthday. And so every year for my dad's birthday, we would make him a carrot cake, and it's Granny's recipe, which is amazing, amazing, amazing. So we had made that, or my mom made that for my dad for his birthday. They went out of town. Ricky and I knew there was still some carrot cake over at their house. So we're thinking, he's like, wow, I wish we had some more of that carrot cake. And I'm like, oh, there's some over at my mom and dad's house. And we're like, let's go get it. And so we pull up. We pull up, and their car is in the driveway. And we're like, oh, no, they came back early. So now this is what we're doing. It's only about 8 o'clock at night, but this is what we're doing. We're now out of our car, sneaking around their house, trying to see if they're really there or not. So we finally gave them a call, and we're like, so where are you guys at? Oh, still in Phoenix, huh? Okay, sounds good. All right, just wanted to, you know, you guys do good over there. Okay, love you, bye. And then, so they weren't home, they were in Phoenix. Come to find out, they rented a car to go down to Phoenix in. So we were good to go. So I put in the code to their house. We got in, we found the carrot cake, and we went back to our house and ate it. And then Mom had to make them another one when they came back. So that actually really did happen. So we did eat the rest of the carrot cake over there. Yes. So, hallelujah. Glory to God. Fun stuff. Amen. Let's pray before we get started. Father God, thank you, Lord, for your joy and for your peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Glory. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you, Father God, for sending your Son, Jesus, for us so that we can have communication, so we can be in right standing with you, Father God. That our sins can be forgiven, that you have made a way for our life to be prosperous and victorious. Thank you, Father God. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise tonight in Jesus' mighty name. And we all say, amen. Hallelujah. How many knows Christmas time can be a very busy season? Have you guys kind of already felt that already, thinking, oh my goodness, we need to buy some presents, we need to get this, you know, that kind of feeling like, okay, it's here, Christmas season is here. And that's not all different from the first century. They were very busy people also. And some people end up missing Christmas. Not only that, but they miss Christ that's supposed to be the center of Christmas, right? We're going to open up the Word tonight, and we're going to look at a couple of people. And if I don't get to the people tonight, I'm going to be speaking on Sunday also, and we're going to look at some other people and what they have to tell us here in the 21st century of not missing Christ in Christmas. So, hallelujah. Let's go over to Luke 2. And as I was reading this, I was talking with Pastor Ricky, and it's really interesting to see this parallel. We're going to read it together, and I think you guys might see it also. So Luke 2, 1 through 7, and I'm going to be mainly in New King James Version, Miss Tracy. Glory to God. All right, so I'm going to start reading. She's going to put it up on the screen in a second. So we have Luke 2, 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her son, her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, a lot of us have heard this portion of Scripture. Every year around this time, we kind of read through some of these things, but it's very interesting to see that in this first century, Caesar Augustus was the ruler of the known world. So when it says, in those days a decree went out that all the world should be registered, it really did mean all the world, the known world. So Rome had conquered the known world at that time, and it was bloody and it was horrible, and that's who was ruling, okay? So, but it's really interesting. So a worldwide, nowadays, okay, so 2020, here we are. So some would say we're like in this worldwide pandemic happening. Some would even say some crazy regulations have been set forth, have been put into motion that do not make any sense, especially when you walk into a restaurant and you have to put on your mask, and then you walk like 10 feet, and then you take off your mask and sit down, and then when you have to leave, you put on your mask. Anyways, it's very strange. Very strange. So, weird stuff. All right. So Caesar Augustus puts out this weird regulation, okay? He put out this weird thing that all the world had to do to go find the place of his, let's read it right. The house of his lineage, so to be registered, everyone to his own city. So basically their birthplace, all right? If we can say it like that, just to kind of make it simple, their birthplace. They had to go, so they had to travel. Everyone in the world had to get up and travel to go get registered. Can you imagine what that would really look like? What if that was something nowadays that they told us to do? Can you imagine what that would look like, a worldwide decree? I mean, that would be pretty crazy. So that's what was happening right here at this time. It's also funny that this was about like a census going on, and in 2020 we had the census. I thought that was kind of funny too. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of parallels here kind of happening. But there are some things that we can look at that really can speak to us. So right here at the very end, and we could have even passed through it or read through it kind of quickly, but in verse 7, it says, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So somebody that missed Christ at this first Christmas was the innkeeper. The innkeeper missed it. Now we all know some of these things are, you know, prophesied in the Old Testament and how they're set up and different things happening. But the innkeeper didn't know that. The innkeeper did not know that. The innkeeper, I mean, even, let's actually go over to Isaiah 9:6 real quick. It doesn't even say that the innkeeper went to go check on Mary and Joseph, maybe with some hot water. See, I mean, she was very much with child. They knew that. The scripture says that. So, I mean, maybe even some hot water or just, you know, just different things. No, it doesn't even say that. They had to go to the shed. They had to go to the barn with all the animals, and that's where they were put. And let's go to Isaiah 9:6 here. And it says, Isaiah 9:6. Is it going? Oh, it's frozen. Okay. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the innkeeper is saying, there's no room. I'm so sorry. You have to go to the shed back there with the animals. You have to go back to the barn. No, the innkeeper did not know what they were saying no to. Innkeeper totally missed Christ on that Christmas day. Also, I can only imagine, I mean, how did they really miss what was happening? Because shepherds came, right? So I wonder if all of a sudden there was like some loud noises, it sounded like sheep were all around, and they open up the windows, and they're like, what is going on? Are you serious? This is bad for business. All these sheep are around. They're making a lot of noise. What's happening? Didn't even think about going outside to see the barn. You know, what's happening in the barn with that pregnant lady? I mean, there's different things that you have to kind of look through and kind of figure out. They probably had some customers coming down and saying, can you please stop this sheep problem that's happening right now? What's going on here? This is stuff that really did happen. This is like, you know, the walls were probably really thin. They can hear everything going on, but yet the innkeeper still missed it. So this also was probably a busy time for the innkeeper. And this is kind of where I want to go with this for today, is we need to look at our own lives and see if we are being too busy to really see what God is doing and what's happening around us. So she was too busy. She probably was running up the towels to room three and you know, running over here and doing that. It's probably a very, very busy time. And so let's see, I'm just going to find my notes here real quick. It almost sounds like she probably maybe even thought, you know what, I'll check on them in a second. Maybe that was a thought, but it never happened. Maybe say, okay, well, I hear some sheep, and I'll go check on them in a second, and oh, okay, this or that. Or maybe they thought, oh, I should bring some hot water out to the pregnant lady out in the barn, but it didn't happen. And sometimes we see that in our own life, or maybe we hear people around us that say, you know what, I'll start going to church once I'm retired, or I'll start going to church once this is done, or I'll start going to church when the kids are a little bit bigger and they're not, you know, crying the whole time, or fussy, or, you know, whatever. I mean, the excuses can go on and on and on. And, I mean, we've probably even made excuses ourselves concerning that, and how life can get really busy. It can get really busy. So, and there's never a perfect time to do things. So if you're waiting for a perfect time to come knock on your door and say, oh, I'm a perfect time to do this, it's never going to happen. That is a figment of your imagination. It is a lie from Satan. It's never going to happen. You have to actually take the steps. A lot of times people are like, well, I want to try to clean up my life first before I go into church, or before I get back, with Jesus. And I want to, you know, do those kind of things. I want to put this way. It's not going to happen. You can't do that. It's not going to work that way. We have to give our life to Christ, and he helps us. So, amen? Hallelujah. So also, sometimes we fall into the lie of being busy. Being busy is really a lie. So sometimes we think, the economy is bad, so I'm going to work to try to make money to, you know, make ends meet. So we're working, and that makes us busy that way. Well, then when the economy is good, then we're working because we want to get it while it's good, you know, so we're working this way. So you're busy both ways. So Satan's always going to keep you busy and keep you distracted from what you need to be doing and keep you distracted from what's really happening. You might be saying, okay, well, yeah, business is good right now. Everything's doing good right now, except Jesus is missing. Christ is missing from your life, from this Christmas season that we are living right now. Amen? Okay, let's go to Luke 10:38. Yeah, if only that innkeeper knew what she was saying, what he was saying no to. I mean, really, he was saying no to something that was going to be birthed on earth. I mean, that would forever change the world. That would split time in half. That would make a way for our forgiveness of sin. I mean, it goes on and on. And wow, that could have been such a great marketing thing that they could have done last time Jesus was born here in our hotel. You know, it could have been really great for them in the long run, but they didn't see it. They were too busy. Too busy. But all right, let's go to Luke 10. All right, we're going to read about Mary and Martha. Luke 10:38. Now while they were on their way, it occurred that Jesus entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha received and welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. But Martha, overly occupied, okay, this is the Amplified version, but I really liked this part. Okay, so 10:30. Verse 40 in the Amplified, it says, but Martha, overly occupied and too busy. Overly occupied and too busy. Who has been there before? Being overly occupied and too busy. Was distracted. So what's connected to being too busy? You're totally distracted from what God wants you, where God wants you to be. There is a point, because even though she was doing, let's say, the work of the Lord and doing something that's positive, that's good, that needed to be done, there is a point where those things and that busyness can take the place of Christ. And even when we're doing things here in the church, and even when we're doing good things around the people that are around us and different things, we need to be cautious. We need to be aware that, is this taking place of Christ in my Christ's place in my life? Is that happening? And we need to be aware of that and actually ask ourselves that. All right, so verse 40, and she came up to him and said, Lord, is it nothing to you? It sounds very much like the disciples when they had to ask Jesus, do you not care? Do you not care about us? It says, is it nothing to you that my sister left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me, to lend a hand and to do her part along with me. But the Lord replied to her, saying, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. And it's really interesting that he said about many things, because obviously she has made this a lifestyle. This is not just one occurrence. She has made this a lifestyle. She has been busy. She has been distracted. She's been working, and she's been complaining about her sister. She has made this a lifestyle. So verse 42, there is need of only one. Mary has chosen the good portion. And I like how they amplified that which is to her advantage. It gives us an advantage when we sit at the feet of Jesus, when we put Christ first place in our life, when we are not busy, when we're not distracted, when we're doing those things that we need to do, it gives us an advantage. Now, something that also our mind tries to tell us, well, if you do this over here, if you spend time and pray in the mornings or read your Bible in the mornings, then you're not going to have time to do this over here. But that is not the truth. The truth is, if you give God first place in your life and first place in your morning, or then you'll have, he redeems the time. And then you'll have more time. So give it a try, and you will really see how that really does happen. And it says, there is no need, but there is need of only one. Mary has chosen the good portion, that which is to her advantage, which shall not be taken away from her. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord is incorruptible seed. It is never taken away from us. It will do what it's sent out to do. Glory to God. So being busy really pulls us away from Jesus. It pulls us away from those things that he's needing us to do. Being busy does not mean you are being productive. Being busy does not mean you are being productive. It does not mean you're being successful. It does not mean you are being effective. Being busy keeps you distracted and makes you less effective in your life. Instead of getting focused and saying, okay, this is what I need to be doing, and this is what God told me to do, and this is what I'll do. Yes, like I said, busyness is a distraction. So the lie is, and who else has heard this? This is the lie. This needs to be done by you and only you right now. I mean, this thought that comes into your head that makes you busy, that, oh, I need to run and do this over here, and oh, I need to do this, and I need to sit down at the computer and do this, and this over here. I mean, even with those thoughts right there, we're all thinking, whew, okay, all right, that is, it brings pressure, it brings anxiety, it brings fear that it won't get done. All of that is all from busyness. It is literally from busyness. It is not good for your health. It is not a good way to live life. So going back to Christmas, we don't want to be that innkeeper. We don't want to be that person that gets too busy with things that are in our life. We don't need to be saying to Jesus, hey, take the back seat back there. We don't want to be that person. We need to look inside our life and seeing if we do have those things happening to us and how we can manage our time better, manage our life better, maybe get up earlier, maybe organize this, maybe call a friend, maybe they can do that for you. So we need to be looking at our life to make sure in this time, in Christmas, that we will not be missing out on Christ and that we will have a great Christmas season. Amen. We don't want to have the symbolism, maybe the Christmas tree, maybe the lights, maybe different things. We don't want to have the symbolism and not the sun. Amen. We don't want to have the thrills of Christmas and all of this fun and doing all of this without the Christ. We do not want to do that. The innkeeper had no room, but the question tonight is, do you have room? Are we making room in our life for Christ? Do we have room? Or will we be that person that pushes Jesus back in the back? We won't. We're not going to be that person. We have been made aware by the scripture, by what the Holy Spirit has wanted us to learn tonight, to be careful, be aware, be mindful. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that we are making room for you in our life. It doesn't matter if we've just been saved, if we've been saved 40 years, we need to check ourselves. And Lord, we do that right now. Holy Spirit, reveal to us, everybody that is hearing this tonight, reveal to us if we are not making room, if we need to repent and say, Lord, I haven't been doing that. I haven't been reading my word. I haven't been praying. I haven't been giving you time. Father God, we want to sit at your feet. We want to worship you. We need you in this season. We don't want to go another day without Christ in our life. Do we have room for you, Lord? Do we? Are we making room for you, Jesus? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We will do better. We will do better. We'll be moving those things out of our life that have become distractions that Satan has put in our life to get us off from what you need us to do. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. If you've not made room for Jesus, you can make that decision. If you've not made Jesus Lord of your life, you can make that decision right now. And I do want to look around and I want to see if you have not made Jesus Lord of your life, raise your hand and we're going to say this prayer all together. Because this will be the best decision that you've ever made. Let's say it together, church. Father God, I acknowledge that I need your Son, Jesus, in my life. I believe that he died for my sin and he rose again and now is seated at your right hand. And I confess right now that Jesus is Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, hallelujah, glory to God. So, yes, let's not miss Christ this Christmas. Tell somebody Merry Christmas as you leave, and let's leave in the joy of the Lord. Glory to God. God bless. We'll see you guys on Sunday. And this Saturday is the wrapping party for the foster care, and next Wednesday is our Christmas party, so don't miss out. Be involved, get involved, amen. All right, you guys have a good night.